Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for being a part today. Hey, if I haven't met you, my name is Tyler, and I'm part of the team here. And we are continuing on in our series entitled Life to the Full. If you've been journeying with us these last number of weeks, you've heard us talk about the study guide that's available, that we're taking basically what we're learning on the weekends and we're pulling it into the week. If you haven't yet done that, you can grab that on the Life Center app or on our website, lifecenter.com. We'd love to have you join with us in that journey. The anchor for the series is found in Jesus' words in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He's comparing and contrasting who he is as our good shepherd and we who are the sheep of his flock, his pasture, and understanding the dynamics of how he leads compared to how enemies, or specifically the enemy, would lead. Jesus' words are this, John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Now, it's important for us to be mindful and remember the enemy's ultimate goal for your life, for my life, for your life who's watching at home, he didn't come just to give you enough discouragement to bum you out next Wednesday. He ultimately wants to destroy your life. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't just talk about the enemy's purpose and plans. He talks about what he came to do. And Jesus continues on and he says, "But I've come that you would have," or they would have, "life." Come on today, can you say life? Life. Jesus came that we would have life, and not just any type of life. He says that you would have life to the full. Now, this is a huge promise. Why? Another translation says that we would have abundant life. The Greek word here is the word zoe. It means life to its fullest extent. One commentator said it this way, life as God himself has it. And this is the journey that we're on together. We want to experience life to the full. I want you to experience life to the full. I look around at the world that we live in and it seems like so many people, they are not living a very full life. Now, you might hear that statement and say, "Tyler, my life is full. My calendar is full. My schedule's full. My house is full. My bills are full." Whatever it might be, you might have a full life, but understand, Jesus wants you to experience a life that's fulfilled.
Yes, he does. That's right.
And so the question is, are you experiencing a fulfilled life? Not just full, but actually fulfilled. You see, the pathway to getting there, it starts at this place called trust. But here's what I learned a long time ago. A lot of people, they move from trusting in Jesus to then taking it upon themselves to try to make this full life happen. And so it becomes about their effort, their earning, their religious activity. But Jesus doesn't call you to move from trusting to trying. He actually wants you to go from trusting to experiencing transformation. But the pathway to that, it's abiding in that relationship with him. It's resting in what the Holy Spirit is wanting to develop and cultivate within you. That's the point of this series, is that we would learn to lean in a little bit more to what the Holy Spirit wants to cultivate and wants to develop in our lives and ultimately through our lives. And so today we're gonna focus on kindness. And I know that that word, for some of us, we hear that and we go, "Man, that feels really soft, Tyler." But let's be clear. I can guarantee you some of the people who've had the most profound impact in your life were people who extended kindness to you. And it's one of the things that we learn in Scripture. It's the kindness of God that changes everything. It's the kindness of God that meets us. And listen, this hope that we have to experiencing transformation, the only reason we have hope for that is because of the kindness of God. Speaking of transformation, I want you to take a moment and listen to the story of my good friend, Pastor Barbara Kelly.
I was adopted at birth. My birth mother, she walked out of the hospital and she left me. But I grew up in a household where my parents served God and they served Him with passion. They taught me what it was to love God and to give my life to Him. And my mother, she was the kindest and most gracious woman. So I learned about the kindness of God through my mother. 21 was a turning point. My mom died. And all of a sudden, I didn't know who I was anymore. And then a boy showed up. And at 26, I found myself pregnant. He offered me $300. And the ultimatum was, get an abortion. Here's $300. And I'll stay. And we'll just go on with life as life has been. But if you don't, then I'm not staying. I kept his $300. And my son is 30 years old. I said, I'm doing it. I'm raising my boy. I made God a promise. I said, I didn't even know I'd have children. So if I don't do anything else well with my life, I'm going to do this good. And God, you're going to be proud of me because I'm going to raise my boy. There was a moment at 30 years old where life got real. And I found myself in a marriage that I had no business being in. Domestic violence. I threw the first punch and I was arrested and I landed in jail. And I was there from Friday to Sunday, sitting on the top bunk, bawling my eyes out. I knew better. And I just knew Mama and Daddy were rolling over in their grave. I just knew it. And I was so ashamed that I had let myself go down that path. Let me tell you how good God is. I walk out of the jail the Monday morning or whatever. They said, oh, you know what we found out? We found out that you really were the victim. So all of it went away. And yes, as a believer, I divorced him, but I knew it was what was right. I raised my son alone. Yes, I was a single mama. I did it for 17 years. I raised my son by myself. Well, technically not by myself, because the Lord interjected at certain times community and people came along and they surrounded us and they loved us and they embraced us and who we were didn't matter to them. Three doors down, there was a landlord named Barbara and her daughter's name was Sandy. And every day they checked on us. And I knew that that was his kindness. And I knew that it was the grace of God that he would allow me to be in 3B, and she was right down the way from me, and she checked on us every day. And I said, okay, God, I see you. We were loved, and we were cared for, and I began to see the kindness of God woven through this community that he gave me. It was through church, but I had to be open. It doesn't just happen. Life on your own will not pay off. And so I've had the same people this whole entire time. And somewhere in there, he interrupted the narrative and he sent Kelvin. He's the guy I didn't know to pray for or to ask for. And the Lord just kind of, you know, here's this guy. He didn't like me at first. He thought I was loud. And I didn't like him because he was boring as heck. I'm like, ooh, you are boring. Have you ever done anything in your life besides just go to church? And then I found out the two kids he had, he adopted them. And I thought, ding, 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 ding. That's my dude. And February 3rd, 2008, I said yes, and we've been married 13 years. It's the best decision on the side of the cross outside of saying yes to Jesus. I birthed one child, and Kelvin brought two. And then I'm not really sure how it happened, but all of a sudden there'd be these little sprinkles of little lives that would come along and some would say, would you mentor me? And I'd be like, if you're okay with me being a mess, I'll try my best. And it's just been this tapestry of the Lord's kindness where, listen, little girl, your life is not your own. And so I want you to pour it out and I want you to be available. And he gives me the grace and the wherewithal to do it. If you're on the top bunk and maybe you're in a rough patch, let me talk to you about the top bunk. It was a turning point for me, and it serves as a place where I say thank you, because he met me where I needed to be met. Take away the jail and my sin. What I saw was my need, and only he could meet my greatest need. And so maybe you're sitting on the top bunk, and I don't know what that top bunk is for you, but I know that he'll meet you there, and I know not only will he meet you there, he won't leave you there. He's a restoring God. He's a kind God. He's gracious. But above all that, he forgives like none other. For me, it's about surrender. It's about remembering in every circumstance that he is good and that he is more than enough. So I get to live for the King. And I get to help tell people about the King so that they will then in turn tell somebody else about the King. Life to the full is knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior and letting him work in you and through you.
I absolutely love that story. Pastor Barbara, thank you for sharing your story today. I want you to think for a moment about that top bunk moment. There in one of the most painful moments of Barbara's life, it was the kindness of God that met her there. It wasn't after everything kind of got fixed and put together in a position that all of a sudden God looked at her and said, okay, now you can receive my kindness. No, the kindness of God met her there. And my question for you today is have you had your top bunk moment? I wonder how many of us today, we're sitting on the top bunk. We're hanging out. We are currently in the lowest point of our journey, and we're wondering, God, I don't even know where to go from here. Do you know that you are a candidate for the kindness of God to meet you right where you are at? You see, Barbara, as she's sitting on that top bunk, what happened? Her life met the kindness of God. That's exactly where God's kindness shows up. Think about Paul's words in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. He says this, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you?" Anybody else ever experienced the patience of God? Man, I can't tell you how many times where I feel like my life, I've been on the top bunk, and yet his kindness still meets me there. Paul says, don't lose sight of this. It's his kindness, it's his tolerance, it's his patience. And he says, does this mean nothing to you? Don't you see, can't you see that his kindness is intended to what? To turn you from your sin. Another translation says it this way, it's his kindness that actually leads us to repentance. Listen, if you're on the top bunk today, you are a candidate for God's kindness to meet you right where you are at. This is the hope that we have as followers of Jesus. And again, I want to remind us as we talk through these 9 characteristics, and today we're focusing on kindness, this is not a call for you to leave this moment today and to somehow try to fabricate fruit through your own strength. This is something that the Holy Spirit develops in our lives. See, we need to understand this about God's kindness. Number one, God's kindness, it meets us. It meets us on his terms, not because we've cleaned ourselves up, not because we've deserved it. But so many people, they settle for so much less than what God actually has. Because I can't tell you how many people they've met the kindness of God, but then it stops with them. They're thankful that they've experienced it. But Scripture doesn't let us stop there. If you're a follower of Jesus, you don't have permission to stop there. Because we not only meet the kindness of God, we also need to understand that the kindness of God, it needs to mature in us. So once we meet us, guess what's next? It's got to grow up in us. And what's the point of that? So that we can move in the kindness of God. Yeah, God's kindness, it meets us, but it also, it's got to mature in us so that we can ultimately move in that kindness. How many times have I been thankful for God's kindness to me, but my unwillingness to extend that kindness to anybody else? None of us get off the hook on this one. We are all called. If you're a follower of Jesus, yeah, you've met that kindness, and I'm sure you're thankful for that grace, but are you allowing that same kindness to grow up in you? See, again, I want to turn our attention to Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about these characteristics, or what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. 9 characteristics. And in this, before he gets to the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about what the fruit looks like when we walk down the path of life that's focused on self. Ultimately, that path that's focused on self is dominated by what Paul calls the sinful nature. And each and every one of us, before us, there's two paths. And how many of us have wasted years or months or even decades of our lives focused on the path of self, and all it ever brought us was more pain, heartache, destruction, and more top bunk moments? The path of self. But Paul gives us another option. He says, this is what life begins to look like when we focus on the path of the Spirit and what the Spirit wants to grow in us and develop within us. And ultimately move through us. It says this in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Come on, how many of you allowed the Holy Spirit to work on your patience this last week? How many of you found yourself saying, wait for it, wait for it? I've heard so many people share that with me, that this last week they were at a point of stress or frustration, and all of a sudden that idea came back. And what's that all about? It's about the Holy Spirit reminding us of this characteristic that he's growing within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Can you say kindness? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Why? Because ultimately, this is what life to the full looks like. How many of us, we would love to experience a little bit more joy, a little bit more peace, a little bit more patience in our lives? Life, for many of us, it would actually feel a little bit more full if we came to that place. But again, it's not a call to try to leave today and fabricate these things through your own effort or earning. You can't do this on your own. That's the point. These things happen through abiding, through relationship with Jesus. Remember, the Holy Spirit does multiple things in our lives as followers of Jesus. He leads us into truth. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. The Holy Spirit also is the giver of gifts. If you are a follower of Jesus, guess what you already have by the grace of God in your life? You have a spiritual gift, gift of the Spirit. It's already in there. But what we can't lose sight of, those gifts don't reveal maturity. Those gifts are simply for ministry. That means you can have somebody who's really gifted and yet they're not very mature. But fruit is actually evidence of maturity. Fruit is grown, gifts are given. And we allow the Holy Spirit to grow these characteristics in our lives. We allow him to grow this fruit. Why? Because it's evidence of him changing us from the inside out. You see, this is what growing up looks like in our faith. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what maturity looks like as a follower of Jesus. It's so important that we never lose sight of that. And so let's unpack this idea of what kindness actually is. One definition of kindness is this: kindness is tender-hearted sacrifice on behalf of another. So it's a willingness with a tender heart to be willing to sacrifice, to set aside your own thing for the sake of the other individual. But here's the point: with no expectation of personal benefit. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of us, we've experienced kindness, but there was an ulterior motive connected to the kindness that we were receiving? That's not kindness. That's called manipulation. And I've looked in the Greek, manipulation is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not there. We're not called to be kind in order to get what we want or somehow have our needs of affirmation met by being kind to somebody. No, it's for the other's benefit, not for our own. Paul goes on in some of his other letters. I want to look at two of them specifically. First, I want us to look to Ephesians chapter 4. And listen to what Paul says about this idea of kindness. Ephesians 4, verse 32, he says this, would you say these two words with me? Be kind. How many of us know our world would look different if we simply lived out those two words? Think about how radically different your social media feed would be if this was the filter before you could hit post. Be kind. We live in a world that has lost its mind and lost its bearings on this simple ability, which, by the way, many of our mothers taught us when we were like this old. Be kind. Be kind. It's not complicated, is it? But it is hard. It's hard. Why? Because many of us, we find ourselves back on the path of self. Paul says this, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's the motivation. He says, look at Jesus. Look at what he's done for you. Be kind to one another, just as God was kind to you through what Christ has accomplished for you. Now, it's important to note that in this section, Paul is talking about what the new life of a Jesus follower actually looks like. Paul has a similar pattern in all of his writing. He usually starts with right theology or right believing. Why? Because he, in his writing process, moves us. If we can get our believing right, eventually our behavior should reflect that right believing. And so here, earlier in Ephesians, he's talking about the right theology about who Jesus is, our right believing, and here's how that impacts our right behaving. Be kind to one another. Similar pattern is found in Colossians chapter 3. Earlier, he says that we're to put off the old self and to be renewed and to put on the new man. He says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Do you know that God chose you? He saw you on your top bunk moment. He didn't choose you because you had already gotten yourself out of the situation. He chose you because he knew that his grace could do more in that situation than your effort could do on your own. See, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. We're called to put this on. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Paul here is reminding us, listen, the Christian life, it should look radically different than our non-Christian life. How many of you remember your BC days, before Christ days? And yet, do we look different? Has that reality changed anything? This isn't about legalism. This isn't about law. This is about an abiding relationship with a God who loves you that says, I'm going to transform you from the inside out. Have we experienced that? Have we experienced that? See, when we talk about kindness today, I want us to be clear, it's this willingness to sacrifice and to give to the benefit of the other person without expecting anything in return. The opposite of kindness is envy. But the counterfeit of kindness is this. It's manipulative good deeds. That's the counterfeit. In other words, I'm going to be kind to you, not for your benefit, but I'm going to be kind to you because I think I'm going to get the sense of affirmation that I need from this. I'm going to be kind to you so that I can get something in return. I'm going to be kind to you so that down the road when I'm in need, I can bring all of the times up that I showed up in your life. Anybody good at keeping lists in this room? Anybody thankful that God does not keep a list? Towards all the ways that we owe him. All the ways, all the times that he showed up in our top bunk moment and his kindness met us right there in that place. See, this is the goodness and the kindness of our God. And we meet it, yes. That's where salvation begins. But the journey with Jesus, he wants it to mature in us so that we can move in it. So understand, today I want to share four ways that we mature and that we move in the kindness of God. Four thoughts. Number one is this. Kindness leads us to be more like Jesus. When we meet it, but then when it begins to mature within us, here's what happens. It leads me to begin to look a little bit more like Jesus. Let's be honest. Jesus, he led the way in kindness. He led the way. Titus says it this way. Titus chapter 3. As Paul is writing, he says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. Hold on to that. He saved us. Not because of the works done by us. Not because we were already off the top bunk. Not because of any merit of our own. This is the kindness of God. He saved us. Why? According to his own great mercy. He goes on, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. How many people today, right where you're at, you find yourself on the top bunk? You've tried everything you know to do. You wonder if life can get any lower. Anybody ever had that conversation? How can life get any lower? And you realize there's a couple more stories before you hit rock bottom. Anybody else ever had that? And yet, here's what I want to remind you of. God's kindness meets us here. Not because of something we've done. Not because we finally got it all figured out. And when we meet that, what happens? He wants it to mature in us. Why? So that we can look more like and be more like and be the extension of Jesus to the world around us. There's a second reality about kindness. Number two is this. Kindness loves those who have done nothing to deserve it. You ready to close in prayer? This is where it gets a little bit challenging. Because how often does it get easy to pull out our list and we say, you know what? I don't know if you really deserve my kindness right now. But again, I want to draw our attention. Paul says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were what? We were still sinners. Christ died for us. Let me paraphrase that. God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still on the top bunk, he met us with his kindness. You see, we have a God who extended kindness to people who did nothing to deserve it. And yet, this is a challenge. Why? Because each and every person watching today from home, each and every person in this room today, we all have this internal sense of justice. Every one of us. Every one of us has this internal sense of what is right and what is wrong. And the challenge is that meter isn't always accurately tuned. Because the way we want justice to show up on our doorstep is different than sometimes the way that we extend it towards others. See, I see this with small children. I saw it in my own children. They're wired with this sense of justice. When their toy is taken from them, they lose their mind. They freak out. They panic. Even though they didn't buy the toy, they did not purchase the toy. Their sense of justice gets triggered in that moment, and they lose their mind, and they don't want to be kind. They want justice. And this is why this point is so important. Hear me clearly. That internal sense of right and wrong is not always accurate, even though it feels accurate. The kindness that I'm talking about is not something that is naturally produced in our lives. No, the type of kindness that we're talking about today, it is a supernatural act of God's grace in our lives that the Holy Spirit is developing that gives us the ability to look at people and love people who don't deserve it. Because that's exactly what God in His grace did for us. Here's the third thing about kindness. Number three, kindness, it lends itself to those who have been unkind to us. Now, this is challenging. It's a continuation of that former thought, but understand, it's one thing to extend it to somebody who we feel like doesn't deserve it because of that sense of justice inside of us. It's another thing to lend kindness to somebody who has actually been unkind to us. Now, let me be clear. This does not mean that you don't have boundaries. Kindness is not passivity. Kindness is not turning a blind eye. Kindness is not enablement. Kindness doesn't compromise clarity. Kindness can lean in and love the other individual for simply the fact of how God has loved them, but it doesn't mean that you aren't clear. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, he's talking about what life looks like as a citizen in the kingdom. He says this, that if somebody asks you to go 1 mile with them, go 2. Go another mile. This is where we get the phrase in our culture, going the extra mile. And Jesus, he's clear on this. He's not saying, hey, I want you to do this so that later on down the road, when they're in need, you can really pin it to them. I want you to do this so that after they turn around after that second mile, you can take a selfie and then post about it as a humble brag on Instagram. It's not what he's saying. He's saying you're not doing it for your benefit. You're doing it for their benefit. This is what authentic kindness looks like. This type of kindness is not fake. What is fake kindness? Manipulative good deeds for our benefit. That's not kindness. That's not what Jesus is referring to. In fact, he goes on in Luke chapter 6 and he says this, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Jesus here, he's saying, listen, if you're a citizen in my kingdom, your life should look different than the world around you. And if you're only willing to love those who love you back, you don't look any different than those who don't believe me. This is challenging, isn't it? He goes on, he says, if you do good to those who do good for you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that for you or to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. And Jesus will continue on in a couple of verses. He will say, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a high call, isn't it? You see, in this moment, we're kind of exposed to deal not just with external actions, but internal motivations. So what's my motivation? Do I love somebody just for what I can get in return? Or do I love ridiculously and extravagantly because that's the way that God has loved me? Oh, yeah. Am I kind to other people? Not because of eventually I'm going to be in a point of need and I can cash in on that. No. Can I be kind to them simply because the incredible kindness of God met me on my top bunk that's right. moment. That's right. And it changed everything about me. And I'm a different person because of it today. See, kindness, it lends itself to those who have even been unkind. Jesus' words about going the extra mile would have been ridiculous to the original audience. Why? Because Rome is an occupying force. in Rome, they could mandate by law, you have to carry my stuff 1 mile or else. And Jesus says, in that context, don't just go 1 mile, go ahead and go 2. How many of us, when we hear that, we're like, thanks, Jesus. Yeah, that sounds great. It's a whole different game right there. But ultimately, this brings us to the fourth truth about God's kindness, not just meeting us, but again, maturing in us and moving through us. We need to understand kindness, it lives out generosity. Ultimately, when I think about what kindness is lived out, when I think about what kindness is personified, what is it? It's generosity. Many of us, we know the story of the Good Samaritan. Even if you don't know scripture, you hear that phrase even in our modern society. They were a good Samaritan. What does it mean? It means showing kindness, stepping in, helping somebody at their point of need. Jesus, as he tells this story, he's talking about two groups of people that should have been at complete odds with each other because of racial tension. He says that this Samaritan, he comes across a Jewish man as he's traveling, and he stops. And he gets down and he begins to bandage his wounds, and he lifts him up and he puts him on his donkey. And so what do we see this Samaritan being generous with? Well, he's being generous with his time. He's being generous with his energy. He's being generous with his compassion. Not just that, but he leads this donkey with the wounded man on top of it to a local inn where he pays himself, the innkeeper, and says, watch after him, take care of him, and if there's anything else that I owe, I'll be back and I'll pay the bill myself. Generosity. He's generous with his money. He's generous with his words. He's generous with his time. You know that we could transform our city if we were a little bit more generous with kindness? Not for what we can get, not so that we can stand up on the stage and say, man, Life Center's so amazing. No, Jesus is so amazing.
That's right.
It's not about us. It's not about our name. It's about what God wants to do in us and through us. Think about the ripple effect that your kindness could have in your neighborhood, in your apartment complex, on your campus, in your workplace. If we were just a little bit more willing to be kind as God was kind to us. But again, this isn't a call to leave here and go, okay, Tyler said I gotta be more kind this week. Let's see how I can do that. We will fail miserably without the help of the Holy Spirit. Because it's a characteristic that He develops within us. Again, the goal is not to get to the end of this journey that we're on with life to the full and look around and say, you know what, man, you're right, Tyler. I feel a little bit more full. Feel good. That's not the goal. The goal is that we would be so full of what God and His grace is doing in us that we overflow to the world around us. I want you to be so full of kindness that it can't help but spill out on your family. It can't help but spill out on your coworker. It can't help but spill out on how you treat a restaurant worker or a barista. It can't help but overflow with how we engage with the world around us. Here's what I know. See, it's impossible to be authentically generous and insecure at the same time.
That's good.
See, if I'm insecure, I'll never be able to be generous with my words to somebody who needs generosity in my words. Why? Because I have my own need and I'm insecure of whether or not it will get filled. And so I withhold the very blessing of kindness that I'm able to give. Why? Because I'm insecure about my own needs being met. But when you have a security that who you are in Christ is more than enough, you can be generous with your words. When we're insecure and we're wondering, do I have enough time to get all of my stuff done? Of course you're not going to pull over and help somebody else. because you're consumed with yourself. You're insecure of whether or not you have enough. But here's what authentic generosity does. It gives because it realizes, man, I serve the God who oversees time. And if I invest 5 minutes here, even though I don't have it, I know that somehow God is going to multiply my effectiveness. He's going to take things that would have taken 3 hours and somehow I'm going to get them done in two. It's just how God's economy works. When it comes to being generous with our money, if we're insecure, I don't know if I have enough, or do we have this vantage point? No, I serve the God who has more than enough. And everything that I have is a gift from him. And so I can be a good steward. I can be a blessing. I can be a conduit to others. See, friends, kindness is generosity in motion. Kindness is generosity being lived out. Why does that matter? Because it was the generosity of God that met me in my top bunk moment. It was the generosity of God that met Barbara on her top bunk moment. It's the generosity of God that's going to meet some of you today, because right now you are in the middle of your top bunk moment. Again, Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul's words. Don't you see how wonderfully kind? Friends, for those who have been serving Jesus for a long time, can I remind you, and you might have to draw back a while to remember what the top bunk felt like, but when you're there, the kindness of God becomes so real.
Yes, it does.
And it humbles us.
Yes.
And that humility, it's not to diminish who we are, it's to put our lives in that right priority to where we can become an extension of how God's love met us.
That's good.
His kindness, his tolerance, his patience. He says this, can't you see that his kindness, it's intended to turn us from our sin, to lead us to repentance. See, allow that kindness to meet you, but please don't stop with just meeting the kindness of God. I want to call us to give space for the Holy Spirit to mature that kindness in us so that we can begin to move in it. Because there's a lot of people that we're going to come in contact this week, and they're in their own top bunk moment. And they need a bunch of spirit-filled Jesus followers who are convinced that the kindness of God has met them, and what he did for them, he can do for that person as well. Today, can I invite you to grab your smartphone if you have it, if you're in the room. For those who are watching online, the team's going to put a link up. I want to talk about a couple of next steps today. We do this every single weekend here at Life Center because we don't just want to grab more information from Scripture. Many of us, we don't have a lack of information. We really want to experience transformation. In order to experience that, we got to put something into practice. And so if you have a smartphone, you can scan that QR code. If you have the Life Center app, open it up. You can click Next Steps. And there's a few options that I want to give you today. Number one is this. Maybe today is your day to say yes to Jesus. Maybe you are quite literally in your own top bunk moment right now, and you want the kindness of God to meet you. Can I tell you today, you can leave this moment different than the way that you showed up in it. It's the kindness of God. Say yes to Jesus. Second next step is this. Maybe you realize, even though you've met the kindness of God, it's time for you to start living that kindness out. So maybe that's your next step. If that's you, check this box, because that's those of us who are saying, yeah, Tyler, I met that kindness. I'm thankful for that kindness. But to be honest, I haven't really wanted to show it to anybody or anything around me. It's time for it to mature within us so that we can move in it. So if that's you, check that box. Take that next step. Here's the third next step. Maybe you're newer to Life Center. Maybe you've just been joining us online for the last couple of weeks, and yet you want to get connected. We want to help you get connected. We don't want you to just kind of float in, float out. We want to help you find a place of belonging here at Life Center. So if that's you, check that box saying, man, I want to connect with this place. And our team, they're going to follow up with you this week because we want to help you experience that dynamic in your life. Would you join me in a word of prayer today? Jesus, thank you that in everything, you are the initial giver. God, thank you that it's your kindness that met us in our top bunk moments, when all hope felt lost, when we weren't sure if we could keep going. God, it was your kindness that reached into that moment of darkness or despair or discouragement. And God, through your grace, you are changing everything. You are rewriting stories. You're rewriting family lines for generations to come. God, we thank you for it. And listen, today, maybe it's your desire to say yes to Jesus. You want the kindness of God to meet you. Maybe you are quite literally in your top bunk moment right now. Today, I'm going to invite all of us to say this prayer with you, but we're going to say this simple prayer. Would you repeat these words? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation. And help me to follow you every day of my life. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Today, can we celebrate those who are making that decision? I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet, those who are in the room with me today. For those who are watching online, would you stand as well? We're going to be sent from this moment. We say this every single week here at Life Center. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And so let's go and be the church this week. Let's extend kindness again. Don't try to make it happen in your own strength. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Let Him grow that within you. Have a great week. God bless. We'll see you real soon. Take care.